Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Item number 9E. Consideration of Resolution 2070. What's the wishes of the Assembly?
Your Honor, I move to adopt Resolution Number 2070.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Mr. Painter?
Well, I just want to point out, these are full-size vehicles to use, you know, by the government. They are V8s. I guess I have to echo the sentiments of three of the school board members that weren't in favor of this, especially in the financial budget times and the crisis that the school district has been in this year. That and the fact, you know, four vehicles at once will be worn out altogether at the same time. So I have to say I'm really not in favor of this.
Mr. Kiefer?
Your Honor, I'm of somewhat two minds on this one because on one hand, I agree with the point, Mr. Painter. My one concern about this is that you're right. Basically, they're going to buy four at once, and then four are going to all want to go out of service at the same time, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road. On the other hand, I think anyone who's watched how government works, whether it's the Assembly or the Council or the School Board, knows full well that this is a situation where staff's been asking for these replacements for several years. And it's always cut, no cut, no cut. So eventually you come to the crash point because government itself is not being responsible in maintaining the rolling stock. And all of a sudden it's like, well, now it's all bad. So, I mean, if they need four vehicles, apparently they need four vehicles.
Mr. Selzer?
I'd like to know why they have to have a V8 engine in them.
Mr. Harrington?
If you'll take a look at the total price on these cars, we are buying two Fords for $23,000 and they're buying four Chevys for $22,000. What they carry on them, I think, is irrelevant. These are not Cadillac equipped vehicles. I think they're being reasonably frugal. And as such, I don't want to be in a position where we're always second-guessing what the school board does.
Any further discussion? Mr. Lannis.
Your Honor, just for clarification, I had thought that $22,000 was an example amount. Would the finance director be able to explain that? It doesn't seem to line up with the $138,000 on 5 years.
Mr. Houts.
Mike House, Finance Director. Could you repeat the question?
Mr. Harrington quoted an amount for the vehicles at $22,000. And on page 10, actually, there is a cost there. But is that an example? Is that a hypothetical example? Or is that the actual payment schedule with the total cost of the vehicle? I'm unclear on that, since what they're asking for is yeah. Three vans and one pickup for $138,000. That doesn't seem to line up with that. With the
no, that's just an example. This is an example contract, is what it is. It's not the actual sign.
We don't have that. We don't know what each vehicle costs. We just know the cost of four of them is $138,000.
$138,000 with $32,000 a year in debt payments.
Okay.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Question for the finance director. In looking through this, is there a buyout option in this lease?
Uh, $1 at the end of the term.
Is there an interim buyout that we can buy it out a year down the road?
I don't recall.
I guess the reason I'm saying that is that there's a couple things in play here. One of the things is that the school board has been trying to get vehicles for the last 4 or 5 years and haven't gotten any replacement vehicles. Their vehicles are falling down around their ears. We had a discussion in the liaison meeting about them taking money out of their operating budget, which is what this lease does, in lieu of taking money out of the school CIP fund to replace vehicles, which are far in excess of the $10,000 floor where they put it. So this effectively takes money out of a capital budget and puts it into an operating budget. It's a mechanism to do that. They have to get our permission to take on debt, which is what they're asking us for here. They're taking money out of their budget. That's a school board's decision on how they spend that money. But I guess the question when we talked about it was that if we get the funds for the Schoenbar from grant from the state, that's going to backfill some of these funds that we've depleted to do the renovation on Schoenbar, and there would be money in those in the CIP fund that could be used for capital projects going on in the future and also buy out some of these leases. And the last lease that we did was the IT lease. So I don't see this as much different than that. And, you know, I'm not going to tell the school board that they need to go buy Apples when they want IBM PCs, or they, you know, tell them that they have to buy a two-cylinder when, or a four-cylinder when they've spec'd out an eight-cylinder. That's the school board's decision on what vehicles to buy. So, you know, I just don't see this as a problem. And we just need to, we need to prove it and move on with their lives.
Purchase option is 30-day written notice.
Your Honor?
Yes. Go ahead, Maggie.
I actually found that the maintenance department at the school district to be reasonably prudent. I think I don't want to second-guess them either at this point. I'm going to vote in a positive on this. I think that they have shown themselves to be that way, and I'm going to follow the pretend that this is the way they are doing it. So I'm going to follow them what they ask. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Harrington?
Thank you. I stand corrected on that. As a quick calculation comes up, to $27,000 per vehicle. Listening to Mr. Thompson, I'm wondering if I would like to give them the office of the authority to do this, but ask them not to enter into it until we can get some sense of where we stand, and maybe we can use those CIP funds later in the year. And avoid the $32,000 in financing. It just irritates me that we are spending a lot of money on tax on that interest. Thank you.
Mr. Painter?
Well, I just, you know, I think this is, I don't see the rush to do this right now. I think this is this is something that should be taken up during the budget process. I'm a businessman. Never been fond of a lease.
Done it.
It's understandably it frees up your cash flow to do other things. I'm just not in favor of this.
Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Harrington made reference to $32,000 a year in debt service, but I'd like to point out that that's not entirely interest. Part of that's paying back the principal on these. So, and the sooner that we were to exercise that, the sooner that you could reduce that. But it's certainly not interest in $32,000 of interest a year.
One thing I do want to point out is the fact that here at this table, it may not seem to be a real definite desire to lease these vehicles. However, from the maintenance point of view, where the request initiated, are having trouble keeping the vehicles on the road, and we drag our feet and in any way, the way I see it is that. Part of the maintenance challenges that the maintenance committee is or maintenance folks are going through now at the school district will slow their process of maintaining down considerably because we want to wait for a couple of weeks. I think they've been waiting for a couple of years. And yes, a couple of weeks will make a difference because the vehicles that they have at least what was reported to me directly, is not safe. And to me, this process has already gone through the school district. And the school district is saying to us, let's make the purchase. I would encourage this assembly to make that purchase. Any further discussion? Mr. Lennis.
Your Honor, just a point of clarification. I just noticed that on page 4, under the equipment to finance it, it appears that there are four vans and one Silverado pickup truck. Can I get that clarified? And why I think that's important is because in the resolution itself, it talks about four vehicles.
Three vans.
But unless my copy is a very poor one, it looks like that says 408 Chevy Express vans and 108 Silverado. If there are actually five vehicles financed, that should be in the resolution.
Mr. House, could you address that, sir?
It's my understanding it's three Chevy vans and one pickup. But the quote, yeah, that could be an error. The quote says four Chevy vans and one pickup.
Maybe they're throwing in an extra one for free.
Well, the quote may... Yeah. I'd have to clarify it.
Okay.
Move to postpone for 2 weeks.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded, postponed for 2 weeks. Any discussion on the motion for postponement? Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. You know, there's been some questions brought up with regards to the quantity of vehicles, the need for four-cylinder versus eight-cylinder.
The discussion is about postponement.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we need to get answers to these questions.
Okay.
I think the school board can provide those. A lease versus purchase analysis can be provided, and then also discussion of longer-term financing. So I think these questions are justification for postponing this and not just killing it or voting up or down tonight.
Mr. Harrington.
I might add that at 10% interest on this thing, we also ought to be taking a look at whether or not that's an appropriate lease option and whether or not the borough should be sticking their nose and some of their money in such a way as to avoid that kind of exorbitant interest at this time.
Mr. Lennis.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just as soon, if this doesn't pass, I think the appropriate thing is to not pass it and not pass the extension of time for 2 weeks, but to deal with it tonight. But I would be in favor of modifying this to reflect up to five vehicles, if that's what it is, and then go on from there, because I think this has been voted on by the school board, and I think we should deal with it.
Any further discussion on the motion to postpone? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Salazar?
Aye.
Kiefer? No. Harrington?
Yes.
Sarber?
No.
Landis?
No.
Painter?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
4 yes, 3 no, Your Honor.
Motion carried. Item number 10, manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. There are a number of issues that are highlighted in the manager's report. There are 11 specific issues that I'd like to address with the assembly this evening, and Mayor, I'd ask your direction if you want me to address these. Some of them are likely to generate some considerable discussion among assembly members. Would you like me to deal with them one at a time?
Yes. Or,
okay. The first one concerns recent discussions that have occurred between the borough staff and staff from the Mental Health Land Trust office with respect to acquisition of South Point Higgins and possibly the Coast Guard Beach property. As the assembly is aware, an appraisal was done of the South Point Higgins property, and through the negotiated sale policy of the Mental Health Land Trust Office, that property is available to the borough for $1,170,000. The potential benefactor that has been discussed among assembly members in terms of helping to finance that purchase has never made contact with me. The Mental Health Trust Office is willing to consider an exchange of borough lands or an outright purchase of that property with cash, and there are a number of different ways in which funds might be used or generated to purchase the property. They could come through, of course, the borough's land trust fund, grants and contributions, sale of bonds, or a temporary sales tax. Most recently, last couple of weeks, the trust office also expressed interest in possibly selling some portion of the Coast Guard beach property. However, the Mental Health Land Trust Office is concerned that the borough proceed in good faith and that there be measurable objectives, milestones, if you will, to ensure that progress is being made if indeed the borough is going to purchase one or both of those properties. And if the borough fails to meet those milestones, then the Mental Health Land Trust Office intends to consider other options, such as selling the property to other parties. Development of some kind of agreement between the Mental Health Land Trust Office and the borough is going to take a considerable amount of time, and the target date for completion of that is sometime by the end of February. I just wanted to afford the Assembly the opportunity to have input into pursuit of those particular properties, given the fact that the benefactor has not come forward and given the other choices that are available with respect to acquisition of that property.
Mr. Lennis.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate the manager's discussion on this point. It's my strong desire that that we do indicate to Mental Health Trust that we are, our interest is continuing, and that we will set up timelines and milestones, but that we do have an inventory of borough property that is of less value than this very high value parcel, and that would be our first option would be to select and negotiate trade parcels of lower value, lower public interest value of borough property to trade with the Mental Health Trust.
Mr. Thompson?
Thank you, Your Honor. I passed along the contact information from the benefactor to the manager, tried on several occasions to contact them myself, have not been successful, so I must assume that they, their interest has waned in the project at this point anyway. They may resurface at some point. I concur with what Mr. Landis has said. One of the things that concerns me is that if at all possible, I think, and I know this is probably not something Mental Health Trust wants to do, but I'd like to get both of these beaches and both of these properties out in front of us to say, okay, we want them, but we want them both. And we've been playing footsie back and forth with these guys on Coast Guard Beach. They obviously have some desire to start divesting of some of these properties and turning them into cash. They're going to require some assistance by the borough in rezoning the remainder of Coast Guard Beach, and I think that that is some leverage that the borough has to bring them to the table and say, look, let's negotiate a trade for both of these, or trade in cash, or whatever it takes. Let's figure out what portion of Coast Guard Beach and what portion of Point Higgins Beach that we want, and let's get them both on the table and negotiate them both at the same time.
Mr. Harrington?
I was only in on one of the two meetings. I missed the second one. So I had been left with the idea that they were still wanting to sell the Point Higgins, South Point Higgins Beach, and were seriously looking at trades for the for Coast Guard Beach. If that's incorrect, I'd like to make sure we stay on top of this. The target with Mental Health Trust keeps changing. And what they told me 3 months ago doesn't fit now, and what they may have told us last week may not fit next week. So we need to be keeping up on top of this. I think getting a memorandum of understanding on what we are after, what steps we're going to go through, all of that seems to make sense to me. I had pushed that we get a purchase and sale agreement so we have it something in writing that with some deadline in like November next year or this year. Things like that. We need to get it down so that the assembly can be dealing with it and so we the public knows we're actively working. And so Mental Health Trust can't change their mind down the road and say, oops, I didn't mean that.
Mr. Kiefer.
I agree with what's been said. I think that we need to move ahead on the assumption that we're going to do what we can to at least negotiate some sort of agreement that will get these parcels back where they need to be. And I agree with what Mr. Harrington just said. Right now, it's 120% of the valuation. Who knows? Dealing with these folks, by the time we sign a piece of paper in a month, it might be 140. I don't know. It changes. Nothing ever seems to stay the same. So we need to at least have a framework where everyone's agreed on what we're talking about here, then decide, can we afford it? Can we do it? How can we go from there?
Mr. Selzer.
Is there any way that any of the passenger head tax can be used on this?
I think it would be difficult to justify the purchase of the property. We're using those tax proceeds.
So we'll move it up for tours.
I suggest we open it up for tours. I guess the other thing is I just don't see how we're going to afford it. So when you do it, or as you're approaching this thing, what I'm going to want to see is I want to see it related to the budget and where the money's going to come from without breaking every fund we have left.
That's one area of concern that I have, and that is, where is the money going to come from? You know, I think we're on a slippery slope here. We have before us, we're having to make a decision, and this is pretty soon. Folks may come in and close the doors at the borough office because it's no longer safe. We're going to have to address that. And that's real hard money. And I just don't know if we could presently financially afford something like this. Of course, I encourage the discussion moving forward, but bottom line is, where's the money going to come from? Mr. Harrington.
We have a group within our community that is actively seeking funds to help us buy this. The only way they can do it is if there's a commitment on the table that says, we're going to do it. Once we have that agreement written up, there we can set them loose to write their grants and go seek their funds and hopefully get half of the funding for one of the parcels up front. If we just sit back and continually talk about it, we can never set them free to do that. They need us to commit to at least looking at it seriously and failing any fundraising, at least agree to put it before the voters next fall as a bond issue. But we need something in concrete to move ahead and allow them to be moving ahead.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. And good points have been made, especially with regards to where the money's coming from. And I think that the borough has to really emphasize a trade. We have lots of land that's out there that we're not being used. This is a public use for public parks and beaches. That's where we need to have our emphasis. We're talking value, obviously. We're talking assets, but we're not talking cold, hard cash. And any type of an agreement with them is probably going to have to involve some sort of a trade.
Mr. Kiefer.
And just following up on that, obviously, as has been mentioned, sometimes trying to find out what the exact position of Mental Health Trust is on anything is akin to nailing Jell-O to a wall. But at least now, 6 months ago, they were saying no land trade, you want cash. Now they're kind of going back, well, maybe some cash. I mean, if there is some wiggle room there that we can exchange other borough property for this property, then we need to pursue that. If all they're going to want is a straight, give us, $1.2 million for this beach and $3 million for that beach, that's probably not going to happen. But if they're willing to wiggle, then we need to at least pursue that and see if there's other property we can find that will meet their needs.
OK. Continue, Mr. Buckhurst, if you would, sir, please.
Okay, the second issue concerns the role of the Borough Lands Committee in terms of making policy decisions with respect to borough lands and whether the Assembly supports the recent placement of signs at Deep Bay stating that no motorized vehicles are permitted. There was some concern raised at the last Assembly meeting regarding this matter, and I would appreciate direction and guidance from the Assembly.
Mr. Selzer.
I guess I'm not aware of this motorized vehicle thing, other than what he's reported here. Has there been a problem out there with it, or why do we?
Concern was expressed by an Assembly member at the last meeting that there was de facto policymaking going on, and my sense was that there was concern whether it was appropriate to designate or label that area as no motorized vehicles permitted.
If the people out there want it, they can ask the Assembly for it. Otherwise, why do we need to put our nose in everybody's business?
Mr. Harrington.
I participated in that discussion. I might as well wade in. It was actually the residents of that area that were afraid of the motorized access to this trail. This had been a logging road. It would have been something different entirely in my mind. But as a trail, as we all know what trails are like in Southeast Alaska, they get muddy and yucky as it is, and running four-wheelers up and down it and off into the muskeg can cause an awful lot of damage in a short amount of time. And it was with that thought that I was sitting there saying, I think it's inappropriate to put up signs saying no four-wheelers. On the other hand, that is a policy call, and probably by all rights should have come back to this body.
Mr. Thompson.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I think the larger issue is when we have basically a subcommittee or a committee of staff that's setting policy decisions, those types of things should come at least touch base with the Assembly. These things can be, you know, first it's Deep Bay, then it's Gravina Island. And it sounds a little extreme, but I've seen it happen in other places. Yes, I agree. Four-wheelers can be a problem, but we're also watching the Forest Service closing off 100 miles of logging road to no motorized vehicles. That'll be 200 miles of road closed. And in the same breath, I hear that we're closing off borough public property to motorized vehicles. Now, if that's appropriate, that's fine. There's already a gate across Whipple Creek Road. We have one gentleman that has permission to take a tour up there, but for the rest of us, it's basically off limits. These type of things, I think, should be brought to the Assembly to say, do you agree with this policy to close this particular area off to motorized vehicles? I think that's the policy that should be put in front of us.
It should be in a more public process than at the Lands Committee meeting.
Okay. Okay. Next item, last week I received a request from the regional planner for the Alaska Department of Transportation asking for input on what he termed to be secondary transportation improvements in the greater Ketchikan area, that is a level below mega projects such as Gravina Access. And I told him that I would get back to him after I had an opportunity to confer with the Assembly, the mayor, and others. I sent out an email with information, and further information is included in the manager's report of what the planner at the Department of Transportation listed as the top seven priorities for transportation projects at a secondary level for the community. So I wanted to let the Assembly know that I have received input from staff people. I've received input from one Assembly member, and I would appreciate any additional input from the Assembly either at this point or subsequent to this meeting, and I will convey that to the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Kiefer.
Yeah, I agree for the most part with the priorities that were discussed in response to your memo. One question I've had, now where staff can, so maybe DOT can, is particularly now that we've got a large number of buses going back and forth to Beaver Falls, why is that part of the road never been chip sealed? You know, why is there a reason for that? Is it? I'm just curious. They chip sealed the road all the way to the other end. And there isn't nearly the amount of traffic in the summer out to Sutler's Cove as there is to Sevier Falls. So why isn't that been chip sealed? Why? And that never shows up on the state's priority list or any of the STIPs or any of that. It's never. Is it because we haven't asked for it, or is there some sort of right of way question, or I don't know. So I guess I'd be curious to know that.
I would venture to say we haven't asked for it, but has it ever been asked for? I should say, Mr. Painter.
Just a question to the manager on these transportation or DOT projects. Is it clear? I don't know. I'm a little bit confused at the meeting with Mr. Menzies. I questioned him, and he responded that he had negotiated. They had negotiated with the contractor on the Ravenna Highway to narrow that down and improve the road or widen it, the Librand Road. Is that straight that we didn't want to widen the existing road that Southeast Engineering built, but to improve the road beyond and continue any funding with the extension of the North Gravina Road and the permitting process and whatever, rather than make a two-lane, 26-foot, whatever, 28-foot existing road to 36 feet wide, which we don't need.
Through the mayor, I have advised Mr. Menzies subsequent to that meeting that there was interest on the part of some assembly members in utilizing that funds to improve the road from the Y to Seeley's Mill.
Which included three bridges.
Yes. And I have not yet had a response from him. I tried to call him this afternoon, and he was not in the office. He's ill.
One thing that you may want to include in that is I believe the Forest Service has the funding and one of the bridges, the funding for it is, to my understanding, already within the Forest Service's budget to replace those three bridges to a two-lane bridge.
Okay.
Other discussion? Okay, continue on, sir.
The next one segues into that issue, access regarding Gravina, and there were a number of points raised in the manager's report and a couple of developments or one other development subsequent to the issuance of the manager's report. First of all, there has been concern expressed to the Department of Transportation about the use of tolling in terms of evaluating the preferred alternative. As we just spoke, I also conveyed to the Department of Transportation about interest on the part of the borough in changing that the scope of that change order. And then lastly, I would raise the issue that questions have surfaced recently about whether the community's interests would be better served if the Assembly were to rescind action that it took in August of last year endorsing improved ferry service to Gravina as one of the several options for Gravina access. Wanted to explore with the Assembly if there's interest in putting that issue before the Assembly at the next meeting.
Mr. Lennis.
On the last point first, Your Honor, I think that I would like to see and fully consider doing just what the manager indicated, because there seem to be some strange things happening with regard to the poll and the visit that we received, and things just aren't really adding up for me, and I'm upset, to say the least, about the process, and I feel like this community isn't getting what it deserves, quite frankly, for the 30 years of waiting and pleading, and then having this or the rug pulled out from under us, and a very, very poor replacement being proposed is what I'm saying.
What I would like to request of the Assembly members is kind of a a good direction to our staff is requesting forehand supporting a resolution and rescinding the resolution that was passed in July. So 1, 2, 3, 4. You have your direction, sir? Maggie, did you hear that?
I did. Okay. My hand's up.
Thank you. There's your fifth. So, any further discussion on this? One of the interesting things is the fact that, you know, although the carpet may have appeared to have been pulled from us, I think we landed on the carpet. And there's some sense of backing up here by the Department of Transportation. And I would, for one, like, as mayor, like to see what we're agreeing to in that poll.
What we support. I've
yet to see the questions of which we agreed to ask our general public, which, in my mind, at least, I've missed one assembly meeting since, and at least this assembly has approved. I don't believe that that has ever transpired. And I would like perhaps some clarification, some note, some email to Department of Transportation stating exactly that. I want those questions. I'd like to have it like 8:30 tomorrow morning so we could see what we agreed to. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I sent that email around suggesting that we might want to consider rescinding this resolution because I was in favor of the original one for F1. And I think that in hindsight, it appears that we may have been manipulated and strong-armed in passing this thing. But then I've also been hearing things that it doesn't matter whether we pass that resolution or not. Our concurrence is not required to reopen the EIS and do a supplemental. And the city of Ketchikan has never given any indication of their desires in the matter. So this may be a moot point, but it doesn't sit well. And then also, I don't think that we've been getting the truth out of the Department of Transportation about what their intents really are. It, you know, we're all adults in this room, and if they can come to us and say, look, the best you're going to do is get enhanced ferry system service. That's all the money we have left. That's what you're going to get. Then we have something we can talk about. But to say we're going to reopen the EIS, everything's still on the table, and then they come out with a poll that's very much slanted from what I've heard towards enhanced ferry service. Just be honest and tell us what you're willing to give us. You know, if you're not willing to give us anything, you're going to take all the money and figure out a way to take it all. Fine, tell us that too. But at least, you know, come down and tell us what's really going on. And I don't think we've gotten the truth out of DOT at this point.
Mr. Arrington. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I believe I have the correct meeting in mind. Did he not come down and he basically, we all said we wanted the other alternate at F2, and then we got a letter from the state saying that perhaps we didn't understand that that's not what they wanted from us, but they didn't say that clearly. They wanted us to endorse. The enhanced area is not what we're talking about right now. They asked us to endorse as one of the options, enhanced ferry service. Basically, they put the motion in our mouths, or they even dictated the motion to us. I believe that is what we're all referring to.
That's correct.
That's correct. I'm right. No, I agree with you. I think that they set us up.
Mr. Arrington.
I clearly feel like we've been manipulated all the way along. Not just last summer, but from well before last summer on this whole process. It would be nice if we knew, as Mr. Thompson said, somebody to sit down and adult to adult tells us what the facts are and where we are. I mean, we can handle all of that, but we need to know it. We can't make public policy out of ignorance, and that's clearly what we did last summer. I did not raise my hand for that for the four hands because I'm still in a quandary as to what is the best way to deal with this. If it does not make any difference what this body does, why go through the exercise? It just angers a few more people. If it does make a difference, then by all means, we need to have that discussion, and we need to have the votes. on what it is. But I don't know that we're going to get that information in front of us, given the current players. I'm hoping that our trip to Juneau will resolve some of this. And if that does get resolved, perhaps the manager can be a little flexible on what he brings to us at the next meeting. But I think we need to take this issue on with all of the facts.
Mr. Painter.
I think this has been a continual hoodwinking process by DOT. I think they and current administration in Juneau has insulted our delegation in Washington, D.C. That's obvious. What I got out of, after really letting it sink in and think about what Mr. Menzies said as to their reopening the environmental impact statement in spending $500,000, I believe it was, for a supplemental environmental impact statement and opening up the record of decision, was to allow DOT to put more emphasis on building or opening up the property and the economic aspect of the project to cover the bases so that they did not have to repay the up to $55 million. There was a lot of emphasis on that is the reason why they're doing that. Supplemental environmental impact statement is to, you know, so they don't have to pay that money back.
Mr. Kiefer.
Precisely, and I suspect that the DOT's end game on this one is to figure out some way to spend the least amount of money possible to prevent them having to return that $50
million. Right.
And so the question is whether we're going to see any of that. I mean, as much as I still truly would love to see a single bridge down here over, or something that would get built, we know that all the bridge options besides the preferred alternative have major problems in terms of vehicle transiting and whatever else. And DOT knows that fully well. All they're going to do is spend X amount of time to basically come back to us and say, well, if you want this, it's going to cause this heartburn. If you want that, it's going to cause this heartburn. I didn't raise my hand like Mr. Harrington, because part of me just says, you know what we're going to end up with is some sort of enhanced ferry system. I was one of the people who was polled, shortly after our meeting, where we were told they were thinking about doing a poll in the future, and 12 hours or 14 or 16 hours later, we started getting phone calls. So obviously that had been in the work, 60 or 90 days before we even came here.